Basically, what will happen, like anything else, we will start to take things for granted. Or we lose sight of why we do things. For instance, how many of you know tomorrow that there is a parade in Lacey to honor the vets? Good for you. Hopefully you'll have time to participate and just say thank you. But, you know, too many times Memorial Day weekend, we lose the focus. You know, it's for barbecues and parties. Nothing wrong. But we don't even remember what it's for anymore. It's another long weekend off from work for some of you, okay? Or it's an opportunity to go barbecue hopping, you know, or stuff like that. Well, we never give a thought of the reason behind it. The same thing can be true for, and I hate using this word, I wrestle with that, what word to use, but when we do anything religious, we can go either one or two extremes. If we do it frequently, we can start to take it for granted, correct? If we do it infrequently, then we forget why we do it. All right. So, but it can happen on both times. If we do something infrequently, we may not realize the importance of what we do or why we do it. I want to suggest today baptism could be one of those things. We read in the Creed, one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. And you say, what? What does that mean? Does that mean you have to be baptized to be forgiven? What does that mean? Okay. Well, you can write a book on it, and you could publish it. You'll get 100 different opinions, but I can tell you what it means in our tradition. Okay, here's the problem. The problem is we do not have a baptismal tank, correct? So we have to go to another church to baptize. You guys have generally been pretty good about coming to witness the baptism, which tells me that you care. I want to suggest to you that when churches do baptisms, it ought to be as well as attended as a church service should be. It is an important step of faith for the people who are doing it, and it should never be taken for granted. Just like an offering should never be taken for granted. That's an act of worship. If it's done with the right heart, the right motive, it's an act of worship. To complicate matters even further about the issue of baptism, for many years we say, what's the mode of baptism? In other words, should we dunk? Should we sprinkle? You know, what about infant baptism and all of that? So that gets argued, you know, all around. Is baptism necessary for forgiveness and salvation? Absolutely not. You can be saved without being baptized. Salvation is by faith alone in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Through faith and repentance, we're saved, correct? At that moment, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And so, baptism is not necessary for salvation. Okay, Pastor, then why get baptized? Right? Should I open that up? I don't know. But why get baptized? Charles Stanley, many years ago, did a message about baptism. I don't remember the message, I'll be honest with you. But I do remember the illustration he used when he did it. He brings out, remember the old computer printers, the dot matrix printers? They had this huge paper, was green and white, and what he had a stack that thick, okay? And he just let it drop all over the platform, and it was massive. Now, for those of you who know Charles Stanley's church, it's got a lot of people. And he said, this is the number of people who attend this church who have not been baptized. Wow. Now, listen, baptism isn't a sacrament, okay? It is not a sacrament. And his purpose wasn't to say that you need to be baptized to be saved, but his purpose was to say, if we're going to be faithful to the teaching of the Bible, Baptism is important in the life of a Christ follower. It's also important in the life of the church because it encourages the church with the gospel. And so I want to take you through some biblical perspectives on this. Is the creed wrong? I don't think so. Because, and you'll see why in a minute. I don't want to tip my hand here. First, I want to talk about the meaning of baptism. Baptism is a means to identify. Okay? If a policeman stops you, what does he ask you for? Your ID, right? He's like your identification. He wants to find out who you are. Baptism is a way that a Christ follower can identify. Well, identify with what or with whom? Well, first of all, let me tell you that the word in the original language means it was taken from the dye industry. And here was the picture. If you had red dye and a white cloth and you dunked the white cloth in, what color is it going to be when it comes out? Red. Baptizo is the word that was used in that industry. And that is when the white cloth goes in, it identifies with the red. And it comes out red. Are you with me? Okay. That's important because I don't think the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to use a different word than baptizo because he wanted you to know that it seems like, at least to me, that to be baptized means to be immersed, in our case, not in dye, but in water, in order to identify with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who did he die for? Me. And so baptism becomes now a symbol of what already has happened 2,000 years ago on the cross, and more importantly, in the symbols, what has happened in the heart of the Christ follower. All right? You got that? Now, we identify with Christ when we exercise repentance and faith. That's how we're saved. Faith and regeneration and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, all part of what the Spirit does in our life. But however, subsequent to that, there needs to be a credible testimony of your faith. You know what I mean by that? That means that when you come to Christ, there ought to be some difference from what you were before. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but there ought to be some difference from what you were before and then who you are now. All right? That's basically all testimony is. You know, and I can say, it's fun when I tell people my testimony because they think I was born a pastor. You know, some of you know, you could ask my brother. He's known me the longest, then you could ask Mary Lou. And, you know, I was no saint, okay? So what I was before was vastly different than who I am after I came to know Christ. So there needs to be a credible testimony even before we consider baptizing somebody. So how do we do that in this church? Somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I want to be baptized. I have come to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to identify with him, and I want to identify with this congregation. Then I get the deacons together, and we hear their testimony. Now, let me talk about age at this point, okay? The Bible knows no instance of infant baptism, all right? What the Bible suggests to us, excuse me, my allergies are killing me. What the Bible suggests to us is simply this. When somebody who's of age of understanding comes to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and has a credible testimony, then they're eligible to be baptized. Gabish? Okay? So we have to hear baptism. Oh, thanks. Okay. Thank you. Excuse me one second. Salute. One of the things I've always appreciated about the Billy Graham crusades, when he used to do it, now Franklin Graham's carrying on, of course, is that when they call people forward to come to Christ, they always try to connect them with a church where they can continue to grow and ultimately be baptized. You know, and again, baptism has nothing to do with where you're going to spend eternity. It has nothing to do with forgiveness of sin. The only thing that can forgive us sin, the only person who can forgive us, is Jesus Christ, and it is his blood that washes us clean, his finished work on the cross. And so we identify with him in baptism. How do I know that? If we can go, Emily, I'm going to drive you crazy again today. But we can go to Romans 6, and I don't know how far we're going to get. I know we're short on time. Here's what Paul says. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? This is an incredible section of Romans on the grace of God and the misunderstanding about what grace is. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve his favor because we're sinners. We don't deserve him. And what Paul was saying here is we're preaching God's grace is sufficient because Jesus Christ paid for our sin, past, present, and future. And some might say, well, if he did that, then I can go on sinning. The more sin I do, the more grace I'll get. And Paul is saying, you see in verse 2, it says, by no means. The original language says, God forbid. God forbid. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't we know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So if we truly come to know Christ, we have identified and acknowledged that as he died for my sin, I'm willing to die to my sin. That's what repentance is, isn't it? I want to turn away from that sinful lifestyle and walk in faith with Christ. And what happened to Jesus 3 days later? He was raised up in new life. And so, the moment we believe, we're raised up in new life also. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
I hope you're different than you were before, you know, at least somewhat. And he goes on to say, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live, what? New life. This is a great promise. And that's the picture of baptism. What do we do when we get a candidate in the baptismal tank? We hear his testimony, her testimony. And then we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I hold them under for 10 minutes. No. Only to people I don't like. No, I don't either. But they go underneath the water. When they go underneath the water, what are they doing? They're identifying with the death of Christ. Jesus died for their sin. Now they're saying, I'm proclaiming to all the witnesses, I'm dying. I've died to my sin in repentance. And I've been raised up in the life of Christ, just like Jesus was raised up to new life. And I have new purpose now. This is an incredible picture of the gospel. It is one of the best advertising we can do to an unbelieving world. That's why when somebody gets baptized, I always say, invite your friends and family. Because this is a hands-on act symbolically to show the nature of the gospel to people. It's a great proclamation. And I think Jesus knew what he was doing when he instituted this. So it is a declaration of the grace of God in Christ. We proclaim our salvation publicly. Acts chapter 2:38, please. This is Peter, after his message. People are saying, what must we do? Pentecost. He says, repent and what? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. He's saying here, look, it's already happened. Proclaim it publicly by faith. And if we can go to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Great Commission. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. That word comes up again and again, doesn't it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's a declaration of the grace of God. It says to the people who were there, salvation is not by works. It's not by religion, if you will. This was a graceful act of God to send his Son to die for me on the cross so I can be forgiven and have new life. What an incredible proclamation that is. Second, it is a public declaration of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We don't give too much thought to that. But that's important, because it's the Holy Spirit who enabled us to open our eyes to the fact that we are sinners. It is the Holy Spirit who convicted us of our sin. It is the Holy Spirit who then made the Scriptures come alive to us, the gospel itself come alive to us, so we understood. And it's the Holy Spirit who then lives in us the moment we believe. You have the same Holy Spirit as I do. You don't have any more or less of them. You have the entire person of the Holy Spirit living in you. And last, it's a testimony that Jesus is alive. He's still saving people. People are still responding to the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. It's a testimony he's alive. This is one of the importance of baptism. Emily, if you can take me to Colossians 2, verse 12. Did I put that in there? That's not in there? Okay, sorry. How about Romans 10? Okay. I'll read to you Colossians 2:12. It's kind of key. Sorry, I thought I had it in there. Colossians 2. You got Romans 10? Yeah, verses 9 and 10. No, that's okay. I'll read from Colossians. Thank you. In Colossians in chapter 2, verse 12, here's what Paul writes. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, the moment you believe in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. One of the things that upsets me as a pastor, and to be very honest with you, is that just like everything else we can take for granted, we take Easter for granted. You know, it's a time for bunnies. Used to be a time for chicks, remember that? Now they sell them in marshmallow. You can get chicks in marshmallow. It's a time for Reese's peanut butter eggs and all, and that's okay. But you know the incredible miracle of what the resurrection was? And what it symbolized? Jesus conquered sin. He conquered death. He defeated Satan. Oh, man. Jesus is alive. He died in my place for my sin. He declares me justified as if I never sinned. He gives me new life and new purpose. Okay, Pastor, so what? What does this mean? Baptism is important in the life of a Christ follower. And it's important in the life of the believer, and we should never take it for granted. If you have come to Christ and you haven't been baptized yet, give me a call. We'll sit down and talk. You may say, well, I was baptized as a child. Well, did you understand the gospel back then? That's a good question, right? Some people can't be immersed in water for medical reasons. I understand that. And in those cases, we make exceptions because Jesus looks at the heart, right? And there's other ways to do this. And so if you're here this morning, you have been baptized and the Spirit of God is leading you that way, give me a call during the week. We'll talk. It's important. It's important because it affirms the gospel of Jesus Christ. It declares the grace of God in Christ. It encourages other Christ followers. It is a testimony to the world. And it is a special time in the life of a Christ follower. Sometimes pastors can get the Jeremiah complex. You know what I mean by that? And we could pick other names. Elijah sometimes fell into this. Ezekiel sometimes fell into this. These are guys who went around really proclaiming the gospel, calling people back to God through repentance and faith. And at certain times in their ministry, they got so disgusted, they went before the Lord and he said, no one's listening. No one's listening. Why should I do this anymore? No one's listening. Lord, I'm the only one. But the Lord straightened them all out. And so, this is not your work, this is mine. And you keep faithful to the ministry I give to you. And you let me worry about the results. And the reason why I bring this up is because baptism is a reminder that Jesus is still alive. Baptism is a reminder that he's still saving people. Baptism, for me, is a reminder that church is still important. Don't get me started on how we take church for granted. And this is between you and God now, what you do with this. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I want to be baptized. Okay, maybe you're not ready yet. If you're a young person, I have to rely on parents a lot. If you're a young person, I'm talking about 7, 8, 9 years old, because I'll get sometimes, boys and girls come to you and say, Pastor, I'm going to be baptized. And I'll say to them, why do you want to be baptized? Because my friend just was. And I'll say, sweetheart, let's wait for another couple of years until you really understand it. And I get that. You know, you kind of want to, looks cool. You get to spend part of the service in a pool, you know. It looks cool, but it has to be deeper. There has to be heart. There has to be transformation. And there needs to be a great, great sense of God's grace in the life of a sinner. And so I leave that with you this morning. If God's laying on your heart to be baptized, give me a call. We have a couple of churches we can use. But I'm going to give you fair warning, church. I think we did baptisms last year. I forget when, because I don't even remember what I had for dinner yesterday. But when we do, I'm expecting many of you to be there because it is important.